Judy hasn't come on yet.
All right.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying we honor the call.
Okay, let me mute.
Another koa, Yudula Chimimha, Tati, Serira, Alephet Gimel, Yutat Sabi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sabenu, Taharenu, No. Ra, Ufrey Cheyenne, Sintet Nun. Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudha, Kevavat, Shamre, Nun Gimodalit, Yud Tashin. Barhem Taharim, Rachame Sitkacha, Tamid. Yamlem, Betet Reish, Saditaf Gimel. Tasim Kadosh, Bero Tuka, Nael Adata. Ket Kufbet, Tet Nunayan. Yachid Geye, Lamha Pene, Zofre Kidushata. Yud Gimelamet, Pei Zayin Kuf. Shabbatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Talumo, Shin Kufav, Sadi Yud Ta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahe, Adonai Yohei Wahe, El Rachum Bechanun, Erech Apaim, Berav Chesed Be'emet, Notzer Chesed La'alafim, Noseyawon Wafesha, We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Zohar, from the Sulam commentary. Comes from Parasha Yitro, it's Pasuk 29, and we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kutcha b'rechu ishkinte b'tchilu, urchimud chilud chilu urchimu. Le'afta l'shem yudhei b'vavhei, v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. V'yehi no'am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ba'asei yadeinu konenei, aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konenei'u. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nam Dekucha Berichu Koma Deaved Leela Wittata Kolaihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Beleilach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Ledach yaleya mineya ulan haga, peya kalana dehakulu ovada, dikshot inun wikolai sirish, pi alma. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. We study one verse from the Tanakh that has the same energy. It's from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom leami li Yisrael un Tati Vishakam. Tata Willow Yergas, Old Willow Yosipu. Bene Avlala Anoto, Kaasher Barishona. We will connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each name out loud in sequence with the root vowel associated with each letter. Wahe wayo layo sayo te alame mehe shila lahe aka aka heta hezayo alada la awahe heya yozalame behe hereyo he kome la awaka layo la wawa pehe la Nula ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa Nun ha he he a a yo re ta shi a he Re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re Yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da A nu yo he a me re he a yo yo za Hey, 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 may o ha, wa wa la, yo la, hey. Sa a la, a re yo, a shi la, may o hey. Wa hey wa, da nu yo, hey, hey, shi, a me me. Nu nu wa, nu yo ta, me be, hey, pe wa yo. Nu me me, yo yo la, hey, re, hey, me ta re. Wa me be yo hey hey anu wa me hey yo da me be me nu ko ayo a hey be wa re a hey yo be me hey yo yo me wa me. We'll now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim, utilizing the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo hey anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo ta la me re hey hey yo yo hey me me wa 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 ka be yo la yo wa pe du la Nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa Nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he Re la yo wa wa me la yo be wa he re Yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da A nu yo he wa me re he a yo he za Hey she hey me ha ha wa wa la yo yo hey sa a la a re yo a la me ta hey wa hey wa da la yo hey yo she a la me nu hey a nu wa ta me la hey pe a yo nu ko me yo re la hey be she me za re Wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the seventh day of Tammuz. Rabbi Baruch Frankie Tunin, Rabbi Gedalia Shor, and Rabbi Simcha Bunim, the altar of Ger, the Lev Simcha, the happy heart. We will now connect to the Ani meditation, which is a tool to help bring us to balance. Malchut. Yo aheni wa yo hey. Yo aheni wa yo hey. Yo aheni wa yo hey. Yesod. You ahuni wu yo hu. You ahuni wu yo hu. You ahuni wu yo hu. Hod. You ahuni wu yo hu. You ahuni wu yo hu. You ahuni wu yo hu. Netzach. Ye ahini wu yo hi. Ye ahini wu yo hi. Ye ahini wu yo hi. Tiferet. Yo ahoni wo yo ho. Yo ahoni wo yo ho. Yo ahoni wo yo ho. Gevura. Yeach. Ni wi yosh. Yeach. Ni wi yosh. Yeach. Ni wi yosh. Hesed. Yeach. Ni wi yo he. Yeah, I hear you way your head. Yeah, I hear you way your head. Dina. Yeah, I hear you way your head. Yeah, I hear you way your head. Yeah, I hear you way your head. Achma. Yeah, I hear you way your head. Yeah, I hear you way your head. Yeah, I hear you way your head. Keter. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. We will now connect to the Esther Dibros. Vayadaber Elohim et kol ha-divarim ha-ele le-mor. Anochi ha-Hashem Elohecha asher hotzeiticha. Me'eretz Mitzrayim mi-beit avadim lo yihye lecha Elohim acherim al panai lo ta'aseh. Lecha pesel v'kol temuna asher b'shamayim mima'al v'asher ba'aretz mitachat v'asher b'mayim mitachat la'aretz lo tishtachaveh lachem v'lo ta'avdem ki anochi ha'ashem. We'll say chesed la'alafim la'ohavai u'shomrei mitzvotai lo tisa et shem Hashem Elohecha la'shav ki lo yinake Hashem et asher yisa Et shemo la'ashav zachor et yom ha'shabbat. Lekadsho sheishet yamim. Ta'avod v'asita. Kom melachtecha v'yom ha'shvi'i shabbat. La'ashem Elohecha lo tase kom la'acha. Ata uvincha uvitecha, avdecha v'amatcha, uhemtecha, v'gercha asher b'sharecha, ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha'shamayim. V'et ha'aretz et hayam v'et kol asher bam v'anach b'yom ha'shvi. Al kein berach Hashem et yom ha'shabbat v'yikad shehu kabed et avicha v'et imecha leman yarikun yamecha al hagama asher Hashem Elohecha noten lach lo tirtzach lo tinach lo tignov lo tane bereacha ed asher shaker lo tachmod beit reecha lo tachmod eshet reayacha v'yavdo v'yamato v'sho rovachamoro v'kol asher l'reecha. We will now say the first two lines of the Shema. Please close your eyes, cover your eyes, and lean slightly to the left as we say together. Shema Yisrael, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad. Now say the Kaddish, which we utilize as an elevator to rise to the level of our class for this evening. Itkadal v'itkadash shemei rabba, and we all say Amen. V'almadi v'rakirute v'yamlich malchute v'chayechonu v'yomechonu v'chayedikor beit Yisrael, Bagalav Bizman Kari, Yitbarach V'yishtabach, Yitpar V'yitromam V'yitnaseh, Yitadar V'yitalev V'yitalal Shemeidu Kutsha, Le'elamin Kol Birkata V'shirata, Tushvechata v'nechemata da'amiran bi'alma Yehei shlama rabba min shamaya v'chaim aleinu v'yal kol Yisrael v'imru amen. Ose shalom b'imromav Hu yaseh shalom aleinu, we all call Yisrael, v'imru amen. Our class tonight is going to be the Ari, since I was delayed yesterday and missed everyone by about a minute, even though in truth I was 20 minutes late. But be that as it may, tonight we are going to study the Ari's writings on the parasha of Chukat. And we will do this by going to row 14 of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the second column from the left, and that opens up to a landing page, which we will need to scroll down to Parashat Chukat, and there are five links under that. The link we will start with today is the fourth link, in that we have already last year studied the first three links. So we are clicking on where it says fixing the mixing, the golden calf. And we will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bid Hilu Urshimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urshimu L'yakta L'shem Yud Hei Bavad Hei ויחודה שלים בשם כל ישראל, לימוד תורה מצווה, לעסוק תורה מצווה. ויהינו עם אדוני אלוהינו עלינו מעשה ידינו, כנוני עלינו מעשה ידינו כנוני. The golden calf fixing the mixing. Kabbalah expounds the mystical background of the golden calf in order to understand the incident of the golden calf. We must understand what was the intention of the Erev Rav, the mixed multitude, in making this calf at this point. As the sages note, and I am adding, from the Zohar and the Talmud, it was the mixed multitude of people not yet children of Israel that accompanied the children of Israel in their exodus from Egypt, who instigated the idolatry of the golden calf. And as an unwritten commentary, it may seem that that paragraph is stating, it wasn't me, it wasn't us children of Israel, it was those other guys. And that's not what Kabbalah teaches. We are always responsible for whatever we create. And the golden calf was a creation. And the children of Israel were responsible for that creation. They were instigated by the Erev Rav, the mixed multitude, but they didn't have to say yes. And therefore, we need to constantly remind ourselves, don't point out away from yourself as the reason for something happening. Look to yourself and what you are to learn from the experience. Continuing to read. I have already informed you in my comments on the verse, and there arose a new king over Egypt, about the idea of the mixed multitude, in particular, how they were derived from the impurities and the pollution of the soul of Moses, whose soul was derived from the dot of Zeranpin itself, which in turn derived from the mentality of Abba. Moses' soul was derived from dot, which means that he was an expression of the idea of taking the intellectual idea and translating it into personal relevance, producing an emotional response and a practical expression. The fact that dot is informed by the mentality of Abba means that it is the new revolutionary initial divine insight that seeks to be made relevant and change reality. This is a commentary by the translator, but this particular commentary takes a lot of contemplation until the words that you read that seem very simple and clear are drawn into you and they become part of you. And in so doing, your spiritual growth will be enhanced. Continuing to read. But any initial insight appears in consciousness together with an admixture of impurity in the form of illusions and deceptions, which have to be clarified out of the raw material of the insight via the process of Bina. Moses' error was in not recognizing these aberrations in the insight that was granted him for what they were, thinking that they could be incorporated and elevated into the picture. In material reality, this was expressed as his inclusion of the mixed multitude in the Exodus. And this is the first explanation that I have read that really begins to make sense. Why did Moses take the mixed multitude out of Egypt with the children of Israel? And it was because their source was in Moses, which means their source was in Hevel, which means their source was in Adam. They were supposed to become part of the children of Israel, as they have. Unfortunately, they're not yet corrected, and they keep dragging us down. And the explanation that we just read is helpful, if you contemplate it, to understand the why of this series of historical events where the mixed multitude are right at the center of the issue. Continuing to read. But in any initial insight appears in consciousness together with an admixture of impurity in the form of illusions and deceptions, which have to be clarified out of the raw material of the insight via the process of Bina, of understanding. Moses' error was in not recognizing these aberrations in the insight granted him for what they were, thinking that they could be incorporated and elevated into the picture. In material reality, this is expressed as the inclusion of the mixed multitude in the Exodus. And I am adding, the above two paragraphs of commentary by the translators do not make sense to me. This does not mean that they are wrong, only that I do not understand the words used. Since I wrote that last year, I have contemplated these paragraphs, and they do make sense to me, as I've just expressed to you. Continuing to read. Lavan, the Aramean, was reincarnated as Bilam. Elsewhere, the Arizal explains that the mixed multitude was indeed meant to be elevated eventually, but Moses tried to do this prematurely. And this is evidently a classic example of the Baal Shem Tov's teaching that every process of spiritual growth must proceed through the three stages of submission of the ego in order to gain new insight. Separation of good and evil in order to refine and purify the insight, and sweetening of the impure elements of the insight with the power generated by the pure, refined insight. Moses was trying to skip the middle stage of this process, the separation. I am adding, this three-step teaching is being used by modern Kabbalists to integrate many teachings from other spiritual paths back into kosher Orthodox Judaism. In my opinion, that is premature also. It will depend on the physical manifestation of Mashiach, which will happen after Mashiach consciousness manifests in the world. Continuing to read. Nonetheless, they still contained an admixture of sparks of holiness. And this is why Moses exerted all his energy to gather the mixed multitude under the wings of the divine presence. That is, to convert them to Judaism. We find a similar phenomena with Balaam, with whom our sages said, when the Torah says, and there arose no prophet in Israel like Moses, it implies that no such prophet arose in Israel. But among the other nations of the world, one did arise, namely Balaam. Balaam was thus somehow a fallen version of Moses. I am adding, my understanding is very different than the translator's comments. Balaam is not a fallen spark of Moses. Moshe and Balaam are repositories for all souls with affinity to their individual souls. According to the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, as recorded in our teachings from the book, You Are Who You Hate, all people will eventually grow spiritually to be children of Israel and connect to the repository within the soul of Moshe. Obviously, when that happens, Moshe will become Adam HaRishon. The meaning of fallen spark may also be the human souls that have connected to the negative system, since all souls will eventually be connected to Moshe. Continuing. I have also informed you in my comments on the verse, and Rachel stole her father's teraphim, that Laban, the Aramean, was reincarnated as Bilam, the son of Beor. For Beor was Laban's son and Bilam's father. This whole family was derived from the one common source we have mentioned. They were all impurities from the soul of Moses. This includes Laban, Beor, Balaam, and Balaam's two sons, Yunus and Yumbrus, that are mentioned in the Zohar. Therefore, they were all great magicians and sorcerers, without equal anywhere in the world. If Moses embodied the power to take divine insight and make it relevant, we may assume that magic is a perversion of this power. Magic is the combining of disparate forces in nature that at first appear unconnected and unrelated, and harnessing them to produce results. This is possible only if the one attempting to manipulate these powers possesses some inkling of the fact that everything is indeed related somehow, and that it can therefore be connected. Magic simply takes the insight of unity and ignores the divine essence. That statement needs to be contemplated. The idea that everything is connected is derived in its source from the divine insight that Hashem created everything and sustains everything, and thus everything in the world is an expression of His power and is meant to express His presence. So the perversion of magic simply takes the insight of unity and ignores the divine essence of this unity. I am adding, while the above paragraph may be true, the divine essence needs to be included even in the utilizations of some aspects of the spiritual system. The major essence of magic is a desire to receive for oneself alone consciousness by the practitioner. Thus, these souls who were derived from the admixture of impurity in Moses possess something of his insight into the unity of creation, but either ignored or could not divine the divinity underlying this unity. They therefore possessed great magical powers. Now, I have already informed you in the Gates of Reincarnations, as well as in my discussion of the mitzvah of grace after meals, how souls transmigrate progressively through the four kingdoms, starting at the mineral to the vegetable, becoming animal, and finally to the human. I told you there are also that there is a fixed time for their incarnation into each of these levels, after which they ascend to the next level. Now, the time fixed for being incarnated into the vegetable kingdom is the first 4 months of the year, which are Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, and Tammuz. After this, the reincarnated souls ascend to be incarnated into animals. Now, Beor, the father of Bilam, was reincarnated into the vegetable kingdom, but he was not able to proceed in his rectification by ascending into the animal kingdom because he was so polluted by evil. He was undoubtedly the highest aspect of the impurities in this soul route. So therefore his grandsons, Eunice and Umbrus, who were the leaders of the mixed multitude, as is known, is as well as the mixed multitude themselves, all wanted him to be rectified, for his elevation would mean an elevation for them. Through this, they would be able to extricate the soul of their grandfather, Beor, from the vegetable kingdom. So they examined and understood through their magic that the only way it would be possible for him to ascend from there would be if they made the Israelites sin. Through this, the forces of evil would be strengthened, and they would be able to extricate the soul of their grandfather, Beor, from the vegetable kingdom. And this was done in the month of Tammuz, as we know. That's an addition from that I'm making, that Hanoch is adding. To the sin of the Israelites would be added the fact that the sin would occur through Aaron, the high priest, the Holy One of Hashem. The evil generated by a sin is greater the holier the sinner, or the holier the person, the more divine power that he embodies. Added to this would also be the fact that they possess the same golden plate, inscribed with the words, "Ascend, O Ox." In Moses' farewell blessing to the children of Israel, he describes Joseph as an ox. The most eminent his is the power of the ox that is given to him. In Jacob's blessing to Joseph, the same word for ox appears, although in a different meaning, that of a wall. A fruitful son is Joseph. A fruitful son above the evil eye. Daughters tread over the wall to gaze at him. The words for over the wall in Hebrew are Alei Shur, which if slightly revocalized can be read, Ascend, O Ox, Alei Shur. The sages tell us that when Joseph died, his coffin was placed in the Nile River. When the Jews left Egypt many years later, Moses stood at the edge of the Nile and cast into it a golden plate inscribed with the words, "Ascend, O ox." And Joseph's coffin rose to the surface. In this way, Moses was able to fulfill Joseph's wish to have his bones removed from Egypt and buried in the land of Israel. Obviously, this golden plate possessed great power. By eating this grass, the limbs of the calf became animated one by one. Thus they devised to make the golden calf, which is also called an ox, with the powerful magic tools in their mouths, which upset the order of the supernal realms. All the powers we mentioned combined together, that of the evil generated by the Jews' sin, that of the magic powers they possessed, that of the holiness of Aaron's, and that of the holy name etched in the golden plate that was used to elevate Joseph from the Nile. This combination produced the golden calf, which was animated by the spiritual life force of their grandfather, Beor. Thus, Beor thus ascended from the vegetable to the animal kingdom, and the mixed multitude accepted him as their leader, who would inform them of the future and tell them whatever they would need to know. As all this was possible by the fact that they made the Israelites sin, as we mentioned. The soul of the wicked Beor, which was present in this calf, who was yelled out saying, "This is your God, Israel," as our sages have stated. This is also the inner meaning of our sages' statement, that they fed the golden calf grass, as it is written. They made a calf at Horeb and bowed down to a molten image. They made their glory bitter in the form of an ox eating grass. To explain, since Beor was incarnated in the vegetable kingdom as grass, the golden calf ate this grass in order to extricate Beor's soul that was incarnated there. By eating this grass, the limbs of the calf became animated one by one, and Beor's soul thus ascended from the vegetable to the animal kingdom. They accomplished all this through the power of their mass magic. And this is why they made the golden calf the month of Tammuz, for that is the last month of the time of reincarnation, ascending from the vegetable kingdom into the level of animals. And that's the end of our section. Does anyone have any questions? We will continue reading the section titled "A Passion for Miracles." This is not written by the Ari. It's written by a Hasidic master coming from, I believe, the fourth generation after the Baal Shem Tov. It could be the third generation, I'm just not sure. But I will give, as an aside, just mention that there will be times that all of the writings that we know of from the Ari for a particular parasha may have been translated into English, and we will have studied all of it, at which point there's still information that's being revealed over the centuries by other people. And we will use those other people's writings that have been translated into English to continue to grow ourselves spiritually. And this discussion is about miracles and having a passion for miracles, as will be explained. It's written by the seer of Lublin. And it's good to read it in this month of Tammuz, because the organ that is part of the tikkun of Tammuz is that of sight. The Israelites moved on from the Mount Hor, going by way of the Yam Suf, the Sea of Limitation, so as to skirt the territory of Edom. The people became discouraged along the way. The people spoke out against God and Moses. Why did you take us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread and water. We are getting disgusted with this insubstantial food we call manna. Translation of the word manna is, what is it? Or what is this? Hashem sent poisonous snakes against the people. And when they began biting the people, a number of them died. The people came to Moses and said, we have sinned by speaking against God and you. Pray to Hashem and have him take away the snakes. When Moses prayed for the people, Hashem said to Moses, make yourself the image of a venomous serpent. In Hebrew, the word is sarah. And place it on a high pole. In Hebrew, a nes. Everyone who is bitten shall look upon it and live. Moses made a copper snake, or a copper serpent. He made a copper sarah, and he placed it on a high pole, on a nest. Whenever a snake bit a man, he would gaze at the copper snake and live. And I am adding, please note the two Hebrew words, sarah and nes, and we will discuss them below. To grasp the meaning of Hashem's supernal greatness and loftiness, one needs to serve him with utter devotion and a fiery, burning love and enthusiasm. Yet should you achieve this, it is crucial to understand that it is not your own accomplishment that brought you this far. It must be a fixed and permanent dictum of your heart that everything comes from Hashem, and that this level you have achieved was not a result of your own righteousness, but simply a chesed from Hashem, who is always prepared to help one who desires to elevate and purify himself. If one comes to purify himself, he is helped from above. Hashem is close to all who call on his name, all who call upon his name in truth. Make yourself the image of a venomous serpent. In Hebrew, the word sarah, from the word, the root word that means burn. This is one's fiery enthusiasm for divine service. And place it on a high pole, the Hebrew word is nes. Put your enthusiasm in a high place for all to see, so that they too may become inspired and caught up in the fervor of your divine service, so as to aspire to it. You must remember that one is not able to reach lofty levels of inspiration and enthusiasm through one's own natural faculties. Only with the help from Hashem, through a little ness, meaning also a miracle, Can the true seeker aspire to higher and higher levels of fiery, passionate inspiration in his divine service? Place it on a high atoll, on a nest. Let what you have learned be a benefit to others. Place your enthusiasm in a prominent place so that people will understand that you were blessed with a little miracle. In Hebrew, it's the word nes. The miracle comes from Hashem. Otherwise, other people will be inclined to think his passion and enthusiasm is appropriate for him, since he is righteous, he is a tzaddik. But what about the rest of us? We have limitations and problems. How can we be expected to reach such ardent, fiery levels of divine service? The message, place it on a high pole, on a nest, on a miracle. Let everyone know that they must rely on Hashem. If you are prepared to place your hope in Hashem and apply yourself, you can also increase your passion and your enthusiasm and reach lofty levels of divine service. But if you try to do it alone, it will be impossible. You need a little miracle for help. Whenever a man bit a snake, he would gaze at the copper snake and live. You who have remained attached to Hashem, your God, are all alive today. And one doesn't live one's life with enthusiasm and passion and connection to Hashem, it's as if he is not even alive. If one succumbs to the serpent, to the evil inclination, he is as good as dead. Yet when a child of Israel follows the example of the tzaddik and remains attached to Hashem, he remains alive today. It becomes possible to live a life today in this world, which is worthy of being called the world to come, the world that is coming. A life of spiritual delight, a life of service, a life of knowledge of Hashem. If one should feel overwhelmed or crushed by the evil inclination and feel paralyzed in his divine service, he needs only to look at the tzaddik and to remember that he, the tzaddik, once was in the same position. He looked to Hashem for help and picked up a little miracle. There is never a need for despair. It's up to you to desire whatever it is you desire, and it will come true. My written commentary. The energy of Parashat Chukat is mind over matter. This story of the fiery snake on a pole, people looking up at the pole, receiving a miracle, and being cured of a snake bite seems a little much. The religious explanation is by looking up at the copper snake, one remembers Hashem, and this connection cures him. This is one time of many in the Torah that hints to mind over matter. It is truly intriguing to realize that the copper snake on a pole is the insignia of medical healing services today. This continues the hint over the centuries and is now being utilized as the energy of a vaccine which is preparing the human race to utilize the tool of mind over matter. This is my opinion. We are completed with this reading, with this class today. Are there any questions? Tomorrow is Wednesday, and we have two classes, one at 4:30 West Coast time, which hopefully we will finish, complete section 28 of Parasha Lech Lecha. And our 10 o'clock class is questions and answers. And I hope you will have generated some for tomorrow's class. Shalom to all. Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night. Shalom Gadol.